Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my fetch.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited with tequila. I forgot what they were. Something meatballs that taste, I'm sure, delicious. UFC on Fox, Shevchenko versus Pena. Don't call me Pena. Also known as UFC on Fox 23 will be held January 28th, 17 at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado. Why do I think that should be called something like something that has to do with Marijuana Center or something, right? It's something like that, right? Keep in mind, guys, this is not center. A bad car. There you go. What is it called?
Puff Puff Gives Center.
There you go. Hello, Token.
Puff Puff Gives.
We should get that. You know, that should be the drop that we should get. Not a bad card, guys. As a matter of fact, I dare say it's better than the pay-per-view coming up. UFC 2 in Brooklyn, which hopefully our boy Proteus will be there to represent. Guys, let's hit the music because we have a lot to cover and there's always a little, not a lot of time. So let's get into it. We'll start off with the lady that has everyone stopped as soon as she posts a Twitter picture of her at a tattoo center. Hit it.
It's me. Hi, everybody.
The one and only Pam, who I dare say, Proteus. I said she was down up north instead of south. I still, you know what, though? I was looking at the map, guys. How the heck is Carolina considered south? I'll give you central,
well, no,
but that's
no.
about
it's considered
it.
South.
It's not south. It's the south.
Which makes a whole lot of difference.
It does.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Hold on. What'd you say, Pam? It's what?
I'm not... South, it's the South. El South.
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh, man. All right, good Lord. Hold on. I think Rhonda just called for you.
Fetch.
Oh, man. All right, let's meet alongside of me, as always, the man who once called me hoser three times in a row. Good Lord. The one and only Prados.
Thanks, eh, hoser. Thanks very much, eh? I appreciate it very much, eh? Let's go to the rink and play a game of shimmy, eh? Let's go get her done, yeah?
Hold on, I think someone's calling him.
Say a boot.
What's that? What a boot?
A boot?
Guys, let's meet the star of the show. Darn, that's the best. You know, we should always wait for Marco to jump on the one that says, let's meet the star of the show, guys. The guy who always has a direct line to Kellyanne Conway. So hashtag alternative facts. The one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, Robert. Tequila, pineapple, meatballs, and ribeye with macaroni. That's what I was having.
There it is.
Darn, that sounds delicious. And here I am with Kraft's. You know, I don't even think this is Kraft's. I think this is something from Trader Joe's. Man, hold on. What does this box say, Marco?
Alternative facts.
I guess. All right. I guess it's not real cheese. All right, guys. Let's get into this. The one and only UFC on Fox, Shevchenko versus Pena. Don't call her Pena. She's been here for years. also known as UFC on Fox 23, guys. We're going to go into the – you didn't like that one? That one bombed?
No, I did.
Nothing?
I thought it was good. I just was trying to say – I was just trying to keep it down. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, should we whisper?
I guess. All right, guys, let's get into this. The main card, UFC on Fox, of course, from the Pepsi Center, also known as as Prados likes to say, the Puff Puff Give Center. Let's go into the featherweight. We go, guys. Alex Caceres. You know why? Why anyone know why the Bruce Leroy thing doesn't? I mean, they should just call him Bruce Leroy. Screw the Alex Caceres. Bruce Leroy. Featherweight we go, Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy, 28 years old, 12-9, and I thought his record was better than that, maybe because I just like his style of fighting. He's going up against Jason Knight, part of, I think that's part of the scrap pack, isn't he? Isn't Jason Knight part of the scrap pack? And Bruce Leroy, guys, 2-3 in his last five, sounds like my record. 5-4-1 in his last 10 UFC fights, guys. Bruce Leroy is my kind of fighter, style-wise, as you guys know. Now, that said, his record is salty. Fair to say? I mean, he's not as bad as some of the others, but that's salty. He just lost to Yair, wins over Cole Miller, one of Marco's favorite, Masio Fallen, and, of course, three straight losses to Francisco Rivera, Kanehara, and Uriah. Do me a favor. He now has 15 fights in the UFC, guys, and I was surprised by that. 7-7-1. So, boy, that sounds like my record. Jason Knight, 23 years young, 15-2, guys, 5'10", so he's an inch taller. Knight is 4-1 in his last five, 9-1, guys, in his last 10. He's only 2-1 in the UFC with two straight decision victories. The now Mississippi fighter, Knight doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but he's a damn good fighter, guys. So we go to the one and only Marco from Waco. What you got?
What do I got? As much as I love Bruce Leroy, you know, Crispy, you know, much to an old, it was a black exploitation movie of the 80s, you know. It was a kung fu movie with a black actor that was, you know, Bruce Leroy. So that was the name of the character. So that's, I guess, where it come from. It was all really cheesy. Not even a B movie. It's like a C movie. But whatever. Bruce Leroy is a serviceable fighter, man. I mean, I'm never going to go to sleep on Bruce Leroy because he upset Sergio Perez, you know, and Sergio's doing really good at a flyweight now. And he's a guy that can give you a fight, even in the Uriah Faber fight, he got his moments. But like his record reflects, he's a 500 fighter, man. And he got his moments in every single fight. He's never completely out of a fight, but Jason Knight, is the guy that they're trying to probably put a shine on, you know, former Titan FC champion. The kid got plenty of talent. I think that they're opening the car for a reason because they're kind of sort of action fighters, both of them. I think Jason is a little bit more talented and more athletic than Caceres. Caceres is going to put a good effort, but at the end of the day, he's going to get decision by Knight. He's going to continue on the decision path because that's what he does. So I'll give Jason a 30-27 victory, Jason.
To the lovely Pam we go.
Well, I am going to disagree, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because you like Bruce Leroy because you met him.
Do you like that? Well, see, it's not Caceres. Alex Caceres.
Oh, salty.
He's an very unorthodox fighter. And his last loss was against El Pantera, a round five decision split. So it wasn't an easy fight for him. He hung in with him those five rounds. He successful striker. You know, he did have wins over, a couple of the other fighters. But I just think that he's coming up. He's his strikes landed per minute. He's a little bit better on that. His accuracy is better. Grappling defense is a lot better. And I'm going to say it's going to go I'm going to go second round TKO Caceres.
Crap. Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, hold on. Where's my drop there? Hold on. Second round TKO, you said, for Caceres?
That's what I'm saying.
Good Lord. Prados, what say you, Hoser?
Yeah, Hoser, seriously, every time Cam is on this show with you two blokes, you always gang up on her. She has good ideas too, okay, man? She is winning the picks competition because she always gets them right. Anyways, hey. I'm going to disagree with her. I agree that Caceres is a good fighter and that he's got the experience. But I think the reason that Jason Knight is here on this particular fight is this is his chance to shine. And just so if you all are wondering, follow him at JasonTheKid23 if you're
Look
interested.
I figure that
he's got the youth, and we saw BJ Penn get his ass handed to him a couple of weeks ago. MMA math doesn't really work ever. I mean, and if you look at my record of picks, no one should ever lay money on anything that I ever say. But I'm going to take Jason Knight in this. I'm going to say maybe the. Yep. Laugh it up. I'm going to say maybe. It goes a distance and he gets some time in the ring with an experienced veteran. And he gets probably going to be a split decision. That's my pick.
Damn, look at everyone being salty. By the way, thanks for having us, for you saying that we gang up on Pam.
Damien.
Good Lord. All right.
I am the one to talk. I went 0-4-5 on the Bellator picks last week. I think Pam is cool as all, man.
Well, actually, it was me.
You know what? I had, like, one pick last week, and it was just because I don't even know why.
Oh, I forgot. But, who went 4-1 last week?
I don't know.
I would assume 20.
Some dude in San Francisco, I think, that live on the Santori series. You know, DJ, Trump is going to kick him out.
That's right.
Well, I'm the best.
That's right.
Cool essay.
All right, guys, let's, I totally agree with Marco and Prados on this one, guys. My heart goes out to Caceres, but I'm not going to ride the fence. That's my kind of fighter, but this guy, Jason Knight, I think he has a future, guys. Where? With Bellator, probably, but I think he has a future. So I'm choosing Jason Knight, guys. Three-round decision, obviously. Let's go up to the heavyweights. I think that's what they call me every single time I walk into the break room, guys. The heavyweights, which isn't true. I got nothing on that one, guys. Nothing? Nothing? All right.
Hello.
Crickets.
You know what's funny? I'm not even keto fingers. Why do I even say that about myself? All right, guys, let's go to the heavyweight.
Why do you put yourself down? You're hot.
Thank you. It's about time. I only get that every single time I'm in a suit. So thank you. All right, guys.
Muy caliente.
And not a bad set of shoes, right?
Good shoe wear. You give good shoes. Yeah,
I always send pictures of shoes. Yeah, thank you. All right. Let's go into it, guys. We forgot the music. We're going to go to the heavyweights we go. And you know what, guys? I'm going to be honest with you. This is not the spotlight fight because it's on the main card. But this is the fight I'm looking forward to the most. And I'll tell you what. Heavyweights. Andre the Pitbull Arlovski. By the way, do you guys see his old pictures when he has that George Michael hair?
Yep.
With the highlights,
yes,
37
that, like,
years old.
That curly perm, the curly perm, kind of, yeah.
Not that I would ever say anything to his face. 25-13, guys, 6'4", going up against Francis the Predator Ngannou. 30 years young, and I think a future champ, 9-1. 6'4", and I'm going to give it up to the person that deserves it. Marco was the one that called this well before I actually was on this. But let's go into the Pitbull, of course, former UFC champ, has fought in Affliction, Strike Force, won World Series of Fighting, a bunch of promotions, guys. Now in his history of fighting, of course, he's been a streaky fighter. While at Strike Force, he lost three straight before going 4-0 and 1. And then, of course, his lost decision to Rumble Johnson in 6 in a row, including 4 straight in the UFC. Now with his decision over Frank Mir, guys, he's lost 3 straight. And brutally, I might add, to Stipe, Overeem. And I was surprised about him giving up to Barnett. I was literally surprised about that. Must have been a Chael Sonnen thing. Nothing? All right. Francis the Predator Ngannou, guys, the native Cameroon fighter, migrated to France as a toddler. Ngannou, a big fan of Mike Tyson, as you saw in that, UFC piece. He's a tremendously powerful guy, mainly a striker, has shown the ability to get a submission. Unlikely, but he's shown it, guys. And like I said, I think he's a true future champ. We go to the lovely Pam. Pamela, what say you?
Okay, here we go. I'm going with Francis. I don't know how you say his name. Ngannou.
Ngannou.
Thanks, Ngannou.
Ngannou. And I'll tell you why. Arlovski is not the same Arlovski as of old. If you look at him, his losses have been, he's had 3 losses in a row. But at the same time, those losses came January 2nd, May 8th. September the 3rd. And so he's been active and not a lot of time in between fights, I think maybe to possibly heal properly, possibly overtraining. I don't know a lot of factors there, but he's not the Arlovski of old, I would say. And Ngannou, if you look at him, even his, his reach. Arlovski has a 77 reach, Ngannou 83 inches. That's a big reach. His submission game is a lot stronger, a lot better. I don't know. I'm going to go with, are you there? Hung up?
No, we're here.
Okay, I thought I hung up. Sorry about that. I'm going with Ngannou on this one, and I think that, I want to say it's going to be a quick fight.
First round?
Yes.
And before Marco says it, method? Mm-hmm.
With this one, just giving Arlovski's just his record as of late, I think he's getting knocked out on this one too. I think it's going to be a TKO on this one as well.
All right, we go to the man up north, the man who always has toonies in his pocket, Prados.
Yeah, not always. I mean, sometimes those toonies, they slip out of your pocket because they're very slippery, those suckers.
What's a toonie?
Oh, yeah, you got to tell her.
Yeah, what's a toonie?
A toonie is a $2 coin. You know, like you guys have that $1 coin?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we have not only a $1 coin, but we have a $2 coin. So we don't have a $1 bill or a $2 bill any longer.
So what is it? Is a coin a one-y? I don't know.
Loony.
A loony.
Come on.
Loony and a toonie.
Is that real? loony? No, I don't know.
That's real. No, that's real. Like, I swear to God.
We're in Canada. It's Looney Tunes, right? I mean.
So for a loony and a toonie.
And that toonie is worth $1 in the United
it's
States.
It's very,
right.
Very disrespectful.
Well, can't you just have two loonies and avoid the toonie?
You could. Anyway. You could indeed.
Okay.
Fetch.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Any more currency questions? Exactly. Our home and native land. Any more currency questions?
Okay. I'm good.
Are we good? We good?
Yeah, sorry.
Calmate.
Okay. My wife is telling me to tell you that the reason the $1 coin is called a loony is because there is a duck on it that is actually called a loon.
Oh, okay.
That's a kind
is
of
that
duck.
Cool?
Okay, so that's why we call it a loony. Yeah. And then when they came out with the $2 coin, because the first one was called a loony, they just said, fuck it, we'll call it a toonie.
Oh, so nothing to do with the number two.
Yeah, hoser.
There goes our rating. Hang on.
Alternative facts.
Thank you, Carrie Ann.
It was only one. I'm not Lerone. I'm not going to be dropping F-bombs the whole show. All right. So back to the fight.
Have I been wrong yet?
Okay.
Have I been wrong yet?
Go ahead.
All right. So Francis Ngannou versus Andrei Arlovski is pretty much the same kind of fight that we're seeing on the first fight of the main card. We're going to see whether or not the young up-and-comer can take on the old grizzled veteran and come out with the win. As Pam had said, the wingspan on the predator, Francis Ngannou, is much, much more advanced, and he will have a serious reach advantage. However, Andrei Arlovski is hailing from one of the best and greatest fight camps known to man, and Jackson Winklejohn. So they're going to have some sort of idea how to negate whatever Francis brings. But, I mean, if you just look at him, I mean, this guy looks incredibly good getting off the bus. Right, Marco? I mean, this guy is the vision of looking good getting off the bus. And I do believe that we will probably see a first-round KO here from Francis Ngannou. I don't see what Andrei Arlovski can do against Ngannou. He can't take him down. There's no doubt, there's no chance that he's going to get the best of the striking on the feet. But Greg Baxton has proven me wrong more than once. And like I said in the last segment, don't put your money down on anything I say, ladies and gentlemen. And especially, don't put your money down when BJ Penn says, empty your bank account and put your money on him. Francis Ngannou, KO.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah!
Yes! Oh, man. Francis Ngannou. All right. We go to the star himself. I don't think he's going to tell us any different, though, unfortunately. Right, Marco?
I want to see how many Predator freaking quotes can I pull into this, because the first thing everybody's going to say when Ngannou gets into the case is, you are one ugly motherfucker.
Oh, that's a good one.
Your army impression needs to get a little bit better, though. Let's be honest.
He's going to, after he gets done with Arlovski, he's going to tell everybody, get to the chopper. But,
Hang on. That's a great one. Hold on. Can we give you a hand on that?
That was funny.
Sorry, that was fantastic.
But get into the analysis of the fight. Okay. Let's give respect to Arlovski. I mean, he is still, in my eyes, is the best technical striker. And he can crack. We have seen that on his little six-fight run before his recent losing streak, he was able to knock people out. I mean, Travis Brown, kind of a similar body type than Ngannou, arguably a better fighter, but that's debatable at this point. Ngannou is very raw, but he is a more athletic and more powerful guy. Like, according to Ngannou himself, that Kimura that he pulled on Anthony Hamilton on the last fight, he learned that move that morning. They showed him that morning, and he pulled it off and finished the fight with that move that he learned that same day. So, thank you for the word. The guy is extremely strong. He got knockout power. And we know that Arlovski chin is super suspect. You toss a guy on the chin and it's 9-9. I'm going to go on the value of the younger guy, because we can never see him get finished or tap out or anything like that. The guy so far on the UFC is flawless. We have seen his knockout power, and we have seen that he grab a limb, he can rip your arm off. Very telling, if he gets past Arlovski, he graduates to the big leagues. No more Anthony Hamilton's and who the fuck is that guy? He's going to get into the chart 10 of the top 10s, you know? we might see him against Amar Khan and Alexander Overeem, Van Rodwell, the like of those. So if he gets past Arlovski and on the hype turn of Ngannou, I'm picking Ngannou to win, and I'm picking Ngannou to win early by first round knockout. And Arlovski maybe thinking either, you know, get an easier fight or get to Bellator for the retirement tour, because it's not going to get any easier after that.
You son of a bitch.
Good Lord. You know what? I have to, obviously, I agree with everyone. I mean, I don't even know why. You know what? I'm not even going to pick, guys, because I think it's an obvious pick. Ngannou with the first round KO or TKO. So, man, it's going to be a tough night for the pit bull. So I'm not even going to go there, guys. So let's go into it. To the welterweight we go, guys. Two guys that had, one guy had no issues making weight. The other one did, kind of, because he likes going to, you know what? I'm going to talk, guys, because I went to McDonald's today. No, isn't that McDonald's? His surf and turf? We go to the welterweight. Guys. Cowboy Donald Cerrone, 33 years young, 32-7. He's 5'11". And like Pam quickly pointed out in my notes, Juliana, the Venezuelan vixen, is not 5'11". He'll be fighting Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, one of my junkie favorites, 32 years young, 31-11. He's also 5'11". The former street fighter, I guess it's fair to say, he's a Kimbo protege. Masvidal tends to take some off, guys, that we saw with the one and only, who's your boy, Ally Aquinta? You better not boo me. So, he's going up against a really, really tough fighter, guys, even though the Gamebred is a very durable fighter. Keep in mind, he's 3-2 in his last five, guys, albeit split decision losses. He's 6-4 in his last 10, but again, he hasn't really been finished, guys. Early in his career, he did lose via TKO in a couple of submissions, but overall, very durable fighter. He's fighting another fighter that even though he's on major win streaks, Cowboy's that durable, guys. Cerrone, of course, 4-1 in his last five. His lone loss to the one and only on it free. Is that fair to say? RDA. He's 9-1 in his last 10, but that's kind of deceiving because he fights like five times in a year. Notable victories over that stretch over Bendo, Rick Horstory, and he actually destroyed Proteus's horror story. Brown and Alvarez, maybe really hasn't fought anyone that is a super superstar. I'm sure you guys will correct me in this one, but I don't think anyone at their peak in his UFC WEC career. He's lost to Bendo twice, Nate Diaz, hold on, let me play that for Pam, and Pattison, of course, RDA twice. So we go to the one and only Prados, what say you?
Correct. Well, I think this is a battle of the two former 155ers moving up to 170. And let's see who is adjusting to the weight best. I mean, right now, unfortunately, Tony, it's really hard for me to bet against Donald Cerrone, mainly because of his body of work that we've seen over, like you said, his past the last five fights since moving up in weight. And like you said, he's fighting very often, and he wants to fight again after this very often. And he's a crazy man, but I'm going to have to go. Honestly, he's nuts, but I'm going to have to go with Donald. I really am. I'm going to have to, it's going to be a really good fight. This right here, I can see being fight of the night, guys. I can really see this taking down $50,000 for both guys, because it's just going to be a war, or one of the two of them is going to get the advantage. I'm going to call head kick knockout by Donald Cerrone.
Damn.
Late in the third, kind of like we saw with Matt Brown. I think that Jorge gets a little bit winded in the late rounds, as we said, that he likes that surf and turf Big Mac, as you had mentioned that he had mentioned on MMA Junkie Radio. So look, guys, I know they're both getting down. They're both 155ers, and they're both moving up to 170. I think that I'm going to take Donald Cerrone, again, because he has fought a little bit longer in this division, right? I mean, I think Jorge has only had one fight at 170, am I mistaken? Let me see. Yeah, no. Yes, one fight at 170 with Jake Ellenberger. His previous fight was with Ross Pearson at 155. So I'm gonna go with Cowboy. I just can't. The smart money, I think the sharp money is on Cerrone, and I'm gonna take him in this fight. Third round KO head kick.
We go to the one and only Marco from Waco. What say you?
Man, I hope Game Break is not listening to the podcast because he's gonna kill me because I'm picking against him.
Ooh!
Every single time, Marco, I know. Every single time, the last time I bet against him too, and remember, he said to me, "Don't bet against me." You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I took all of this into consideration. I took all of this into consideration, and I still go on with Cowboy. Go ahead, Marco.
Like I said, man, I hope he's not listening because otherwise he's gonna choke me out. And I tap out like Chael Sonnen did. But I gotta go with the body of work, man. And Cerrone only loses to the elite. Rafael Dos Anjos, former champion. Benson Henderson, former champion. Anthony Pettis, former champion. Nate Diaz, former title contender. And, of course, one of the richest guys in the planet right now, thanks to Conor McGregor. So, Cerrone is streaky. And he's on a streak right now. And at 170, he has looked freaking outstanding. I mean, nobody knocks out Matt Brown like he did. And he knocked out Matt Brown. And Matt Brown is my boy. I was picking Matt Brown to win on that fight. So, well, Cerrone is a rangier fighter. And he's more ample to use his kicks, more kickboxing oriented. Masvidal, as good as a striker as he is more boxing-centric. He likes to get closer on the fun boot. And as you know, Cerrone's going to be able to kick his distance. He's not afraid to be taken down. He's super slick on the ground. I think he's going to be able to outsmart Masvidal. For as good as Masvidal is a very good fighter, like Cerrone says, he's a 1A fighter against a 1B fighter. And Cerrone, I consider him elite. Masvidal, I consider him a good fighter. And I think Cerrone is going to be able to outpoint Masvidal because Masvidal is really, really hard to finish. I mean, I haven't seen anybody able to finish a guy clean. So I think Cerrone is going to be able to outpoint this guy. And it's going to be unanimous. He's going to actually outclass him all the way through. Yeah, like Cerrone actually fixed the problem of being a late starter. He's actually starting really quick on the fights now. So Jackson Wilkins, you can fix that problem for him. So it's going to be a 30-27 clean sweep for Donald Cerrone.
Darn. All right. So the pick is for Cerrone. We go, speaking of body of work, we go to the lovely Pam. Hang on, let me get a ring shot there.
Okay, first of all, now you got to play my pony. What is up with that? My friend D is listening, the biggest Cerrone fan in the world. So y'all say hi to D.
Ooh, hold on. I've seen D's photo. Hang on. Yes, I've seen D's photo.
Good in all their photos.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so here, if you look at their stats, I'm going very Goldie on y'all. Virtually identical. Significant strikes, pretty even there. Grappling, pretty even. But in truth, I have to go with Cerrone on this, only because he is the more experienced fighter. Again, his fight resume is a who's who of whose ass have I beat. He has, in his last four fights, three performance of the night. I think that it will, well, I would love it to go three rounds, so I'm going to cross my fingers, hope it goes three rounds. It's going to be a unanimous decision, Cerrone. I think with him training with my guy, Joe Schilling, I think that his body kicks are going to be way too much for Masvidal to handle, and it's going to be Cerrone on this one.
Darn, you know what, guys? You guys have, you know what? I'm not, you know,
like that.
You just like that. Hold on here. Hold on, just. Here we go.
All right. As you guys know, I'm never on the fence.
For show.
But as I always like to say,
have I been wrong yet? Have I been wrong yet?
Not really. So, but guys, here's the one thing. And Blue corrected me once on this. He once said no one's ever due for a fight. But then again, someone is due for a fight, guys. Let's due for a loss. Forgive me. Let's look at what reality is. And someone that's not 33, but a 33-year-old body, guys, fighting in February, fighting in June, August, and December, going 1-2. Let's see, that's 9 rounds in the last year, and we're talking about 9 UFC rounds, right? Clearly, of course, he's won performance of the night three straight times. There's no doubt about it, guys. And if you look at his body of work in 2015, did lose to RDA and didn't look good, and that was a kick right to the liver. In
I was
May.
There for that.
Oh, that's right. In Florida?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I went to that one, too.
That wasn't the Voodoo Doll Massacre, was it?
Yes, that was exactly what that was.
Can you imagine? How about that for a memory, guys? Clearly, I haven't been on at the Pepsi Center, right? I got nothing on that one. All right. I'm looking at this, guys. He's due for a loss. I hate to say that because I know Blue corrected me on that, saying no one's ever due for a loss. But he's due for a loss, guys. If you look at this, Masvidal, very similar in body style, but totally different fighter. Marco's right. Cerrone is more of a Muay Thai type fighter. He does have a really good submission game. But when he goes up against other strikers, guys, except for Rick Story, I'll give you that one, not really doesn't really excel very much. So I'm going to say, now, mind you, if this goes into decision, I can clearly see Cerrone winning. There's no doubt about it. But somehow I think Masvidal is going to put a hurting on him, probably second round KO or TKO. So I'm going Masvidal over Cerrone. Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
Excuse me, bitch.
All right, nothing, huh? All right, guys. Let's go up.
I just want to say that Cerrone's last win against Matt Brown, who is a striker, would probably be more impressive than the Rick Story win. Just saying.
I'm Patrick Cote.
Yeah, but they're not.
And I'm going to say
Tony.
And I'm going to add to that. Let's all gang up on Tony here. And I'm going to add to that. You're talking about how he fights. So, you know, back-to-back-to-back fights. Maybe that is his workout. And, you know, not everybody is Donald Cerrone. He's, you know, Donald Cerrone. He's not every other guy that, you know, he's not your normal 33-year-old man. This dude is crazy. And I think all those back-to-back fights, I mean, I think that's his workout, you know?
Well, you might be right. Hold on. I'm looking at my notes for me picking Masvidal. Hang on.
Alternative facts.
Thank you. All right, guys, let's go up. We're going to go up to the one and only, the women's Batman weight. We go, guys. Someone that has really become one of my favorites, guys. I'm not going to lie. And by the way, how about that UFC countdown with Gorgeous George and Ghost? How about that, guys?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
That was awesome. It was nice to see the boys there, right? Yeah. So, darn. It's you know what, though? They didn't give him enough time. They clearly gave GG time, but boy, how about Goes? Nothing, huh? Let's give Goes a hand. Thank you, Goes. We love you. All right, guys, let's go up to it. We go. Hold on. That's what we should have given. Boy, hold on. What happened there? Okay, thank you. All right, let's go up. Women's Batman weight. We go, guys. Valentina the Bullet Shevchenko, 28 years young. 13-2, 5-5, and of course, one hell of a Muay Thai fighter, my kind of fighter. However, here's the one where I'm torn, Pam, because she's going up against someone that I got to be honest with you. She's not Misha, but I blew it there.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
But she is lovely. I'm not going to lie. She is lovely. Going up against Juliana, the Venezuelan vixen, Pena, don't call her Pena.
She's not 5'11".
For years. She's not 5'11", though, as the lovely Pam corrected me. 27 years young, though, 8-2. The 5-7 Venezuelan vixen, you like that, is 4-1 in her last five and undefeated in the UFC. And one would say, she might say, that she's actually 7-1 in a UFC. She's 8-2 in her last 10, guys. Her lone losses to Deanna Bennett. Huh? Who the F is that guy, right? Sarah Morris, another one. Who the F is that guy? By the way, I love them both. They're both fantastic ladies, so I'm joking. Bennett, of course, loss was a decision loss. And the Morris loss, to be frank, that was due to doctor stoppage. So it's a TKO, but, I mean, she wasn't out of it, guys. Pena, the taller fighter by 2 inches, and it also has a 2-inch reach advantage. That's what she said. She does have, of course, more powerful hands, so she does have heavier hands and arguably a better grappler, guys. The beautiful Valentina, the bullet Shevchenko. I don't know. Well, the Soviet Union-born Muay Thai fighter lives in Peru, so she's fluent in Spanish with her sister. She also and her sister has a cool name too, Valentina. She is a southpaw, and albeit not a lot of, you know, power in the hands, definitely doesn't have heavy hands. Her kicks, guys, are amazing. I mean, they're freaking fantastic. Valentina 4-1 in her last five. Her lone loss to Amanda Nunes, don't call her Nunes, via decision. And one can argue, I can argue, this is where Pam's going to kill me, but one can argue that Shevchenko won the last two rounds in that fight, or certainly 1.5. She's mainly a decision top fighter, but of course does have a history of submissions in Europe and Korea. So we go to the one and only Marco. What say you?
Oh, man, I love this fight. I love it. I've been struggling to pick this fight out. First of all, a little side note, you know, the Peruvian vixen, because I'm talking about Shevchenko, really good dancer. So step aside, Paige Van Zandt. Let's not get Shevchenko dancing with the star, because she might show you up. Yeah, she's actually a professional dancer in Peru. That is bit of a nugget that she threw out on of the Luke Thomas show, by the way, which she got interviewed. But that said, man, obviously the better striker is Shevchenko by far. Peña is very raw in her striking still. You know, she's not a polished striker. She's still, you know, throwing too many arm punches and stuff like that. But she's obviously the better grappler and the grittier fighter. She got hard for days, and that is undeniable on her side. Shevchenko got a little bit exposed in the Nunes fight on her groundwork, but that said, she survived that round and a half, and then when Nunes got tired, she started taking over. So cardio's not an issue for Shevchenko. I mean, same deal with Holly Holm. She never got tired, and this is a fire rounder. And I truly believe if Juliana Peña cannot get this girl away on the first two rounds, it's going to be a case of what happened to Claudia Gadelha versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She's going to be tired, her arms are going to be yellow, and then Shevchenko is going to take over later on the fight.
Man, that's a good analogy, by the way.
I'm going to give Shevchenko the fight on points. And I think it's going to be a late rally. I'm going to give her a 48-47 decision. If I can win the third, fourth, and fifth round late on the fight. Juliana Peña, even though she's a favorite, a very slight favorite, if she doesn't get it done in the first two rounds, she's going to lose this fight. And Shevchenko is going to get a rematch with Amanda Nunes and become the new champion.
Darn. All right. How about that? We go to the lovely Pamela. What say you?
Okay, well, don't laugh, but I'm kind of with Marco on this one. I'm going with Valentina on this one. Only because, well, keep in mind that Juliana is coming off that knee surgery, correct?
No,
that was about a year ago.
Okay. But I just think that Valentina is even though Juliana is a grappler also, she's more of a striker. I think Valentina is just a better grappler. I think she's stronger. I think her cardio is better. And the one thing that I'm kind of wondering is, you know, I like Juliana. I think she's a great fighter. I think she's amazing. But I'm wondering if one can get kind of like a little overhyped over a fight and lose focus because she's so focused on you know, on winning and being number one and getting that belt, that sometimes you're looking over what you're supposed to be on right now. And I'm just wondering if that's not going to take a little bit away from her mindset. But I'm going with Valentina on this one. I think it is going to go all five rounds. I think she's going to, like Marco said, I think it's going to be a point fight. I think she's going to win on decision. And I think that her takedowns and her grappling is what's going to win this fight for her. Or her submissions. Darn.
You know what? So two going to Shevchenko. We go to the one and only, the yin to my yang, Prados. What say you?
Yes, sir. I don't know, man. I think this fight is as close as a number one contender fight can be. I think it's very exciting, as Marco said. It's very important in the division. We saw what Shevchenko could do to Holly Holm in her past fight. However, Juliana Pena is not that kind of fighter, even though Juliana does like to wear her sunglasses at night, so she can.
I got that.
Thank you. You know, listen, we all have to concede that Juliana probably has the better grappling. I don't know if we've seen Shevchenko in this kind of position against any of her opponents in the UFC. Again, a lot of these fights, again, are going to be, except for the Cerrone-Masvidal fight, which probably should have been the main event, since Donald Cerrone is from Denver and you want to sell tickets, but whatever. It's not neither here nor there, because it's more for TV on this fight. I think that if Shevchenko can keep Juliana off of her in the first round, it's going to not end well for Juliana. If Juliana is emotional and can get dragged into more of a brawling type fight, then Shevchenko really, really holds all the keys here. And I think that Shevchenko is probably going to pull off a second round TKO. That's just what I'm feeling. I asked Showtime a couple, you know, last week to put some money down on Shevchenko for me. So, guys, I'm probably going to lose my house and my car, because, you know, why not bet on farm, right? No, I'm just joking. But I did ask Showtime to put some money down on Shevchenko. So I am going to take Shevchenko, and I'm probably going to take her by second round KO. It'll probably be early second round.
Okay.
Wow. Well, guys,
I like,
you know,
it.
Me. Whenever you guys get really, really heavy on one side, I like to go to the other side. And that's why I, last year and again this year, I'm leading the pack on the picks, even though you guys say I'm on the fence.
I'm the best.
That's right. But you know what, guys? I'm going to agree with you guys on this one. There's no doubt about it. You know, this is probably the closest fight that you're going to get in the women's Batman weight division. There's no doubt about it. I thought the Shevchenko Holm fight was pretty close, and I called it there. I said, you know, Holm is a counter striker. Pena's not a striker, guys. I don't know what she is, a jiu-jitsu fighter. I'm not really sure what that is either. But if you look at her past of who she's beaten, and the only one that really surprises me is when she beat Kat, because I thought Kat would be someone that's a very similar style fighter. Kat's wrestling actually is probably better than Pena's, but Pena's a future star. There's no doubt about it. I just don't think the time is now, guys. I think when you guys are right, when you look at Shevchenko, I think she's blossoming at the right time. I think she has everything going for her. Her loss to Amanda Nunes, even though I think Pena's more of a Nunes style fighter, not as heavy on the hands clearly as Nunes, but if you see that style of fighter, she has beaten Shevchenko, Kaufman, So she has beaten people of that elk that have heavy hands. She's also beaten people like, rather, she lost to Carbouche, but she's beaten other people. I just don't see that. And I'll tell you why I'm choosing Shevchenko on this, and you guys are going to laugh at me on this one. But I was looking at that countdown very closely, guys, and the one thing that that happens to any fighter, and I should have that Rocky movie, but whenever someone becomes civilized, if you will, and I'm saying that because she has a new relationship, she moved in, she's all lovey-dovey, etc. Whenever that happens, guys, I think people lose a little sight of their anger or that thing that was driving her, like, yeah, that killer instinct. And like you were saying, you know, that whole thing of wearing the sunglasses at night, so I can. Yeah, I don't think she's doing that any longer. I did steal that from you. Hang on. Thank you. But I see it, guys. And hold on. What did you say, Pro? Did you just say, I thought you said something. Sorry. Sorry. Oh, that bombed. All right. But I'm going to pick Shevchenko, guys, and I'm going to pick Shevchenko. The longer you guys are all right, the longer this fight goes, the worse it is for Pena. Pena, if this fight would have happened probably 5-6 months ago, I would have chosen Pena without a heartbeat. I'm going to choose Shevchenko, guys, because I think she has more cardio, and I think she's going to win via decision. And I'm not it's going to be a close fight, guys, but Valentina is going to win 3 solid rounds off of her.
And, Tony, I just wanted to quickly comment on what you said about that whole countdown show. I did notice the same thing that you noticed with this new relationship, and I did feel the same way about it. I was like, oh, this is kind of scary. This kind of I don't know if they should have been showing that kind of a thing, but maybe she uses it to her advantage. But yes, I did see the same thing that you saw, and I just wanted to make sure that we both were on the same page there.
Nothing, guys? All right.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, about? I don't know, because I don't know. It's because I'm all in a relationship, but I'll still cut a motherfucker in a heartbeat.
That's for a point of reference.
There goes our rating.
Hey, I only said one bad word today. In four shows, this has been my first bad word, I think.
Oh, that's not true.
Hey, a point of reference, while Juliana Pena is getting all lovey-dovey here on the stage, Valentina Shevchenko is dodging bullets in a bar while his coach gets shot. So take that for what it's worth.
That's right.
And she's been out with gorgeous Trojan Ghost. So she's been dodging bullets a lot of time with those two boys.
And let's be honest, guys, she has some of that junkie karma, Shevchenko. So
she has, you
know, right? So
you son of a bitch.
All right, guys, let's go into the hot topics. All right, let's go. You know what, guys? There's a lot of news. Let's get into it, guys. And thanks, by the way, for Marco and everybody else lending a hand on this, guys. Why aren't we playing the fight music? We're not even fighting. Hold on. Let's press her music, please. All right, guys. But let's get into this, guys. Let's put a bow on Bellator 170, guys, because Prados gave me this one idea that we're going to use on every single show, and that's what grade would you give it? So we go to Marco. Marco, what grade would you give overall for the entirety of the card or the promotion, right, the production of Bellator 170?
I give it a C+, and because the Holy Gracie fight, dude, what are you doing on that freaking cage? Like, that was horrible. That wasn't a fight.
Preach.
I was getting into the freaking TV. Like, this is ridiculous. The only shining spot of the card that they show on TV was that the flying knee from Paul Daly to Brendan Ward. That is the only reason I'm giving it a C+. The Chelsea and debacle with Ito, man. The guy, I've been telling everybody, there is no fix on this. The guy was on PED jail for 3 years. He's off the sauce. And he historically has been very susceptible to submissions. You tore his little pinky on the guy taps out. His face was going purple, you know. Big John McCarthy was on the Junkie show and explaining exactly what was going on. So, yeah, there was no fix. Chael Sonnen wasn't ready for that fight. He wasn't mentally on it. And I think that is why he put a less than a stellar effort. Good for Tito, you know. Tito, go into the sunset. You know, you did your thing. You went 3-1 in Bellator.
Shut up, golly.
Yeah, he went 3-1 in Bellator. Congratulations. Now, you know, go fix your neck. Go fix your freaking shoulder. Go fix whatever is broken on your body. And go and sell me some more freaking, punishment athletic gear. Punishment athletic gear. Bye-bye, Tito. I hopefully don't have to hear you talking no more. You're probably going to go manage Cyborg. Oh, she's on PDA jail too. Sorry.
Ooh! Oh, that was salty. Son of a gun. Prados, any change from your last grade?
No. I go with Pam first, and then I'll bring up the rear, please, Tony.
Excuse me? Hold on.
Oh, I know.
Excuse me, bitch.
Good Lord.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Jeez.
Good Lord. All right. So to the lovely Pam we go.
Okay, well, I was only able to watch the main card because I was out doing whatever I was doing, and I watched the main card. Fight-wise, every one of my picks were terrible. So, but you know what? The music was fun. I liked the national anthem. I liked the energy. The crowd was fun. If I'm looking at it on that aspect, I'm going to give it a B because it was fun to watch. It's kind of like I say, like you know, when you go to the fridge and you know the milk is bad, but you still got to smell it. That's just that effect. That is just the effect. And you have to, man. You got to smell the milk. And it was fun. You know, I had a good night. You sat there on the couch watching fights. I hated that my guy lost. I hated that all my guys lost. But, you know, the Sonnen and Tito fight, you know, Chael Sonnen walked out of there looking like, I don't know, whiter and pastier than normal. It was like he was already sweating before he even got in the ring. So I don't know if you know, what was up with him, but, you know, was the fight fixed? No, I just think that he gave his mouth more of a workout than he did his body, and that's where all the energy went.
Hey, a quick note, man. A quick note before Prados. Mm-hmm. How about if a weekend Chael Sonnen got? He loses in Bellator. Then next Monday, he gets fired on The Apprentice. And probably next week, he's going to get tapped out by Gary Tonnen. What the hell, man? What the hell?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. I saw that, and I was like, what? I mean, I saw that he had been fired and for cheating. So... go figure. But yeah, that he's fighting again. And I'm just, oh, okay. But hey, whatever. Maybe he's got bills to pay. Maybe he's, you know.
Ooh.
Whatever. But like I said, I gave it a B just because I was entertained.
Gosh.
Kiss your mother with that mouth?
Gosh. All right. Pro, what say you?
Well, I don't think my attitude or my opinion has changed on the grade that I gave the card. A B minus is going to stay. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the anything was fixed in that fight. I don't believe that the submission, as we said on Sunday's show, I you know, if you look at Chael Sonnen's face, unless, like they said on the co-main event on Monday, unless he was holding his breath or he was faking really, really well, I mean, that fight ended the way it should have ended. I mean, he's been off for 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
He's, like Marco said, he's not on the Mexican supplement, or sorry, the non-onic supplements anymore. And I think the only reason he wasn't on the non-onic supplements anymore is because they fought in California. And California is a very, very, very good commission, right? We can all agree on that. other than the not taking points for people extending their hands and the bad knees to grounded opponents, as we discussed on Sunday, this commission is a very good commission. Moving forward, if he's going to fight Vanderlei, I think, and he will fight Vanderlei. Let's not get it twisted. I don't know how rigorous that testing program is going to be. I doubt it's going to be very rigorous because both these guys have, well, Vanderlei has not ever popped for anything, but he's definitely run away from a test. And that we can clearly see that Chael Sonnen does need the non-onnit supplements to be any good in MMA. So I guess I'm leading into the next question, Tony. So please go ahead and pose that question because I'm going off on a tangent.
Can I clarify something real quick with Vanderlei?
Please, go ahead.
That event, the Vanderlei event, you know, when he supposedly ran away from the test, well, I was there. That was happening on the MMA Junkie Gathering of 2014. I actually met Vanderlei. Yeah, Vanderlei didn't run for anything. He refused to take the test because the tester didn't have proper identification. And, you know, he lodged it up, and then he just refused. He never, like, went through a back door or a back gate or nothing. They never explained it correctly, but when it went to court, it was explained exactly what happened. Because the guy just showed up and said, you need to pee on this cup and give me some blood, Vanderlei said, who the hell are you? Get out of my gym, you know, I ain't doing nothing, you know. And that is what happened.
He just bounced out the back door. That sounds legit. That just sounds legit.
Yeah, because we were there on his gym, you know, around the time this whole event happened. We didn't personally see it, but Vanderlei didn't run anywhere, man. Like, that is exactly when he went to court and sued the commission, you know, and they had to rescind his freaking lifetime ban. That was the defense explanation.
Hmm. Yeah, and I actually have heard. Go ahead, Pro.
Again, the lifetime ban was ridiculous. So go ahead, Tony.
I actually have heard Marco Aya clearly wasn't there at the Junkie Gathering, but Tito of course did leave Chael a message for us.
How about F? You're a gimp.
Gee, thanks. I actually have heard the whole the explanation that Chael gave on why Vanderlei ran, and they're right. No ID. They wanted you to go into a closet. You have no idea whether those needles are clean or whatever. You have no idea who this person is. They want you to show your junk to this stranger, and of course they want to take blood out of you. You know what, guys? I don't think I'd do that either, to be honest with you. So, you know, anyway, in terms of that, I agree with them, but let's get into this. What's next? And you were talking about this, Pro, so you should have actually just segue right into it, but thoughts on Chael? Go for it. What do you see going on for Chael?
Chael has signed a very lucrative deal for Chael, and God bless him, you know, because, it's not very easy to get to that kind of level in the fight game. It's very, very difficult for any kind of fighter to reach said levels. And, you know, if you guys remember back, if we have got some new listeners or some casual fans that are listening, go back and see when Chael Sonnen lost his title fight in the WEC. And not only that, go back further and see when he lost in the UFC in his first stint. He was not very good. He was not only not very good, but he wasn't very good on the camera. And he learned really, really quickly. And I'm going to get on Tito Ortiz's dick a bit right here. He may have learned from Tito Ortiz. You know, he may have learned from Tito Ortiz that, you know, you need to be the bad guy. And Tito Ortiz, for a very long time, was the bad guy. And I don't want to get into it right now because we're talking about Chael Sonnen. But Chael Sonnen did adopt a very, very good wrestling persona, which he used brilliantly against Anderson Silva I mean, the quotes about the Nogueira brothers and feeding carrots to a bus. I mean, that stuff will never. I mean, that's just gold. You'll never ever hear anything like that again. That was just wonderful. What's going to happen moving forward? They're going to sell him. Bellator is not letting go of Chael Sonnen. They are going to use him as much as they can, and sell him in as many big fights as they can. And like I said, that Wanderlei Silva fight is fireworks, man. That's it. That is hashtag Woodwatch.
Preach, brother, preach.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because we're running out of time, let's get into this, because the one thing that Marco wanted to talk about that I also wanted to talk about, and a sore subject, by the way, I will say to our friend up north, the Muhammad Ali Boxing Reform Act, of course known as the Ali Act. Guys, let's not forget who the president is now. Let's not forget Marco was kind enough to tell me that there are ties between WME, IMG, and of course, and President Trump. What does this mean, guys? Ali Act going forward with obviously, let's be honest. Everything has to run through, I think, the UFC in order for any of it to affect anyone, because those are the guys that are really making the most money. But what say you guys? We go to Marco. What say you about the Ali Act now with President Trump?
Well, all this spun out a few weeks ago. Randy Couture and Nate Quarry were lobbying in Congress for the Ali Act, and just today, John Fish and Ben Askren were lobbying too. You know, they're in Congress trying to do their lobbying thing. But these guys, you know, Trump supporters, by the way, they fail to realize that Trump is buddy buddies with Dana White. Dana White endorsed this guy on the Republican convention. And then Eddie Emanuel, you know, the owner of WMEING, constantly goes golfing with the now President Trump, and WMEING is the agency that represents Donald Trump. So that off the top tells me that if this bill will ever go into the desk of Donald Trump, he will beat the crap out of it. Let's not even forget there is not an uphill climb. It's more like a Mount Everest climb in the middle of the winter with killer blizzards and avalanches. Because you got to go through committee on the Congress, then the Speaker of the House had to put this on the floor or put it on an amendment to get voted on. You know, let's remember, Republicans control the Congress, and they are not really too much into the Ali Act. Then it has to go to the Senate, and even if it goes to the Senate and gets put to a vote, it can be killed by filibuster because you need 60 votes on the Senate to kill a filibuster that neither party got. So all WMEING has to convince is one senator, one, to filibuster the whole thing, and the scene dies on the floor. If by miracle, it gets to the president's desk, you need three-quarters of the Senate vote. That is 75 senators to override a veto. This is not happening, man.
Yeah.
And these guys are parceled in like a non-reality. They are convinced that if it gets to the president's desk, it's going to get signed. This is going nowhere. Their best approach would be to probably forego a lawsuit and try to push this all the way to the Supreme Court, because that will affect change.
Mm-hmm.
A reinterpretation of the Ali Act that the Supreme Court might be able to affect change, but there is not also a guarantee because the court has to agree to hear the case. So this is a chase of a unicorn, a fantasy tale. It's not going to happen within the next 4 years. It's probably not going to happen for 8 years unless there is a complete shift on the paradigm and, you know, a complete shift of the paradigm and the people that are in government actually care of what is going on, you know, in combat sports.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marco, I mean, we can say anything that we want to. I mean, Dana White supported Donald Trump, and that's probably going to be good for him. But you know what? There is precedent in boxing, and let's move to Pam real quick to get Pam's ideas on what you think moving forward with Donald Trump. Do you think the Ali Act has a chance, Pam?
Well, I think if his, you know, quote unquote ties to, you know, Dana and MGM and things like that, I think he's going to have to recuse himself from that. And And I'm like what Marco was saying, people think that because, oh, well, we know somebody in the White House, it's going from their hand to the Oval Office. It doesn't work like that. And you know, people have this fantasy that it's going to work like that. And no, it's going to take years and years and years and years for it to even come to fruition. Do they need something? Yes, they do need something, but I don't see anything happening real soon. You know, it's not personal. It's a business kind of thing. You know, you have to separate the two. And now that Trump is in the position where he's in, he can't be, you know, hobnobbing with the cronies that he used to hobnob with before, you know, and they're going to have to understand that too. It's not personal, it's business.
By the way, did you say Oval Office, right?
Yeah, I did. Why?
Thank you, dummies.
Never mind. Or office. Never mind. All right, Prados, you have one or two things to say about this. I know for a fact you do.
Yeah, and of course, guys, as we said on Proteus's primetime show last week with Danny Austin, I think that we...
Good plug.
up north, yes, thank you. Wow, you didn't need to point it out. Like, geez.
No, that was a good one. I'm giving you props. That was a good one. Yeah.
I know. Well, we could have just let it lie and let me keep it talking.
Ooh,
but now
sorry.
We're going on this tangent.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. We posted it all over social media.
Oh, man. Ooh, I'm just getting burned all over the place here. What about a bag of dicks?
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Guys, let's move on. We're 12 minutes into OT. Let's move on, guys.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. God. So quickly. I think that we have a very different point of view from up here, and you guys are crazy. And this act should go through. And if Donald Trump is going to hold it up, and he's going to, because he just put an executive order for a bunch of freaking oil lines to go through the Arctic. So, yum. Thanks very much, Donald Trump. You're an asshole. Move on, Tony.
Ooh, damn.
Thank you, dummies.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
All right, guys. Yeah, there's not much we can say about that, bro. I mean, you put us in a little bit of a... I mean, good Lord. You know, listen.
Do, do, do,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, there's not much we can do there, guys. All right, let's get into this.
What will Killian Cowles say, man?
Oh, man. Hold on. You got to give me more time for that. I'm sorry. Let's do this.
Too late.
We'll cut this. All right. What'd you say, Marco?
What would Kellyanne Conway say?
Alternative facts.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's get into this. Before we leave, I want to get into this. By the way, we never get into – I always want to talk about this, and maybe we'll do this on Sunday. Why we complain about the rankings and fighters pay when we want to get them paid. That's been on a docket for a couple weeks, and we never get to it. But we'll get into it sooner or later, guys. Let's go into this. But Marco brought up this, and it's a very, very good point. And I think he brought up on the here's another good segue or another good plug on the Luke Thomas show. But he brought this up, guys. Super Bowl weekend, traditionally, they usually tie it in with a very, very good pay-per-view, or at least a pay-per-view, right? Because it's all tied in. But this time, not so much, guys. I mean, do you think it's become a thing where they're just – and I know you guys are going to say you don't know what you're talking about. Well, everyone wants a bunch of fights. But are we having too many fights, guys? Because I think we're running into that.
Let me jump in first. First of all, it makes no sense to me. Like the Super Bowl here in the States is carried by Fox next week. The big Fox car is this weekend. But then next week we're going to find that on FS1. Usually, the last time Big Fox got the Super Bowl, they tied it in with a UFC pay-per-view, and they requested that from the UFC. They wanted it to be a big weekend with pay-per-view, the UFC on the same city, Super Bowl, the big glitz, everything gone. Yeah, not this year. And I don't understand it. I mean, why is this card that is like the week before the Super Bowl not on the Super Bowl weekend? Why couldn't they just switch places? something is going on here. It's maybe because that Fox deal is about to come out, and they're not seeing eye to eye. They're not doing the shows any favors. And the UFC is basically telling them, we used to make this big pay-per-view for the Super Bowl, but you're going to have to give us more money, or we're going to ESPN. Maybe it's a bargaining tool, because beginning next year, the end of the year, beginning of next year, they're going to start negotiating. And I think this is a way of the UFC telling Fox, we're giving you your fights, but you're not going to get the fights you want until we get paid.
Pamela? Pam?
Do I? I'm listening. Okay, so are there too many fights? No, there aren't too many fights. Do they need to get paid more?
Yeah, I mean, because basically the point that Marco's trying to make, what I'm trying to say is that there isn't enough talent to fill each card, and I think we've already seen some cancellations. Marco makes a good point.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yes and no, but you're talking about talent as far as established fighters or up-and-coming fighters, because, you know, the up-and-coming fighters need to have a little bit of exposure for themselves, no?
Established fighters to fill a card, but Marco's point is this a negotiating ploy? Is Fox, or rather, is Fox and the UFC, or are they already having issues? Because their contract, as Marco has pointed out, it's coming up, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that we had talked about in, this was months ago, was if they don't want to negotiate, and I know that we have Fight Pass, but why don't they just have a specific audience or a specific, like Fight Pass, and then just put everything on Fight Pass and you know, not just pay-per-view, but start charging for the fights, and I don't know.
Because they're aiming for $500 million a year. Right now, Fox pays about $100 million a year for the viewing rights. They're aiming for $500 million, $500 million a year, and that is just the starting point. If they can get on a bidding war with, like, ESPN, Fox, and even NBC Universal, if they can get on a bidding war for viewing rights, they can be talking about like close to $1 billion a year. So this is the beginning of the bidding wars. That is why probably they're not giving them their best product to make Fox saying, okay, what do we really want to be on the UFC business? And believe me, especially Fox Sports One, one of the biggest drivers for them is the UFC. So we'll see how this is gonna. And I know where you're going, Proteus. I'm gonna start cueing the music.
Let me clear my
throat. Hold on, I didn't get it. All right, hold on. Go for it.
Okay. So, I mean, yes, of course, this is all negotiating between Fox and ESPN. I mean, the relationship between the UFC, Zuffa. Oh, thank you, Tony. That makes me feel so much better now.
You got to thank Marco. He knew where we were going with this.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a plan, and they're not telling us. The Empire is building a gigantic moon-sized planet destroyer, and it's funded by WMGIMG. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Let's get back to real life.
Hey, Proteus.
Yes, sir.
Witness the power of this fully operational battle station.
You are mistaken. The power will be on. It will be fully operational. I forgot what we were talking about because we're doing Star Wars now. Anybody?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not you bad. You know, we should get all this. Yeah, hold on. Hit that again, Pam.
You should take that. Yeah, split it.
Hit it,
help
Pam.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Again?
You forgot
one
you're
more
my
time.
Only hope.
You're my only hope.
Okay, hang on. Let me take a drink here.
Hold on. Let me stop the music. Hang on. Let me stop the music. All right, cue this. Proteus, hit it. Ready? Go for it.
Bam.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Can we get a little bit more emphasis on that?
Ayúdame, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. Help me.
Hey, go ahead, Prodigus. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
I think the tracks went. I think we went off of the tracks there, right, Marco? Thanks for that so much. No, listen, guys. There is no doubt that Fox is no longer going to have the contract. They may have a lesser deal in the contract, but there's no hiding what Dana White is, Lord Dana is doing. He's going straight to ESPN. He's giving them all the content, and they will be on ESPN at some point. If you look at what happened with Fight Pass, I mean, they just fired their their executive that was running Fight Pass, who they were so pumped up about, you know, has recently stepped down, citing that he needs to spend more time with his family. I don't know if he's making Dana White money and he can get that ice imported or that snow imported so that his children can toboggan down their driveway. But I guess that would be what he must be taking, because good Lord, I would not get out of that deal without snow in my desert driveway money. Anyways, let's move on from that. Listen, guys, I'm very concerned about this whole thing with the Empire and what they're doing moving forward. I mean, we saw the Emperor come out on a recent MMA Junkie video where they were showing off their new digs in Las Vegas, and that was the first time we've ever seen the Emperor Ari. What's his name? Emmanuel.
That's true. Ari Emmanuel.
That's the first time. That's the first time we've ever seen him on camera. And I thought John Morgan explained it well on the podcast, that they needed to get that, and they needed to get that on film. And I don't think we're ever going to see that again, because the next time we see Ari Emanuel, he's going to be all old and shrunken and have a cloak over his face. Luke, come to the dark side. Move on.
Bad skin.
Oh, man. You know what? The fact that we all know Star Wars is really bad, guys. Let's get into this as we're running well into overtime, guys. Let's get into this. Spotlight fight of the night, guys. Let's go back to UFC on Fox.
Yeah.
Shevchenko versus the lovely Pena. Spotlight fight of the night. One that's not on the main card. I'll start it off, guys.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what my spotlight fight of the night is, and only because I'm probably the only guy that still watches Tough. But Alex Pantoja versus, of course, Eric Shelton, both former Tough alums recently on, guys. So I definitely want to see that fight. So that's what the spotlight fight that I'm looking forward to. Let's go with the one and only Pamela. What say you?
Okay, well, I know that y'all are probably looking at the Austin Cao and Sterling fight, but I'm going with Marquardt and Smiling Sam Alvey.
Any
Alvey on that one. I like Smiling Sam. You know what? 185 strikers. It's going to be. I think it's just going to be a fun fight. It's just going to be a fun fight. Sam, he's
Sweet.
Cool. You got to dig him. He's a cool guy.
We dig
and
his wife
is pretty.
Even with that haircut, she's still beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Isn't she?
Yeah, she really is. But then again, she's a model, so come on, we can't. Right, Prados? Speaking of which, the lovely Sarah Barthel, right, Prados, on Playboy?
Oh, let's not talk about that at all.
Never mind. All right, hold on.
I got the huge paywall window snapped down after I was looking at those pictures. Hopefully someone will leak them soon. Thank you very much, internet friends.
Prados, what say you? Spotlight fight of the night.
Yeah, a spotlight fight of the night. I'm going to go with Li Jing Liang versus Bobby Nash. I'm very interested in what the leech is going to do. I mean, he's from China. He in his last performance, he was very impressive. And even before that, I believe he took a loss in between Yes, he did. He won over Diego Lima, took a loss, and then won impressively against Anton Zafir. So I'm very excited about this this guy. He's been touted. They've been pushing him, but I mean, when he took on Nordin Taleb, that was a little bit too much for him. And I think that he's progressing up the ranks now. It's been almost more than a year since he's been it. Less than a year. He fought on June 8th. Anyways, July 8th. I think that that's the fight, the spotlight fight of the night for me. I'm really excited about this guy. He's someone to look out for. And maybe no one else agrees with me, but I think that's my spotlight fight of the night.
What's his name again, Prados?
Lim Jilin.
Some Chinese name.
Lim Jilin.
TJ, who's your mom?
Yep.
All right. We go.
I was trying to set you up for that.
I know. We go to the star of the show, Marco from Waco. Spotlight fight of the night for you.
Punk kind of sort of took mine. I'm really looking forward to the Marco Alvis fight. I seen the word about Alvis. He's such a fun fighter. But the Asusao Sterling, just because of the fact that Rafael Asusao not too long ago was a contender, and he never got over the hump to get that title fight, you know. TJ Dillashaw kind of sort of show him off on his last outing. And Sterling, you know, he was on that big, quote-unquote, beating wall for his service, and he realized he ain't worth as much as he thought he was because Bellator didn't put a bid for him. And he had to come back to the UFC with his tail between his legs. And then he lost. So a little bit of his shine went away. It's going to be a telling sign, you know. Sterling touted himself as the future of the division. He came with a lot of hype. You know, the guy got a good look. He got the attitude. He got, you know, the mic skills and all the stuff. But I think Asusao is going to choke him off too. And I'm looking forward to his fight. Sterling might prove it wrong. And then he's back on the horse to try to contend again.
Sterling had posted something on Twitter today saying that he knew that he had let people down with his fighting style, and he was going to prove that he was a good fighter. So we'll see how he does.
That's not a bad fight, you guys. All right, guys, let's go into this as we're well into overtime, but let's finish with this, guys. Well, actually, we have a couple overtime. More things. So, yeah, right, as the one and only TV show of the week to watch. There you go. TV show of the week to watch, guys. I'll start off with this. As all of us who are parents, I'll tell you one thing that was really shocking to me, because it's not really a TV show. It's more of a documentary. But those that got to see it yesterday or the day before yesterday, HBO's Beware of the Slender Man, guys. I thought it was going to be about the internet created Slender Man. It's not, guys. It's about these two girls who basically brutally stabbed this one girl. Thank God she lived. But 12-year-olds that are, like, honestly, it's pretty. It's not for the faint of heart, guys. Okay. But it's definitely, yeah. And only because it's like you never want to think that anyone's child would do that to another child. But it's if you have 2 hours to kill, and I know that's asking for a lot, guys. Watch it. HBO's Beware of the Slender Man. It's about these 12-year-old girls that stabbed this other 12-year-old girl in, I think it was in Milwaukee. Wow. So it's pretty rough, guys. But it is, you know what? It basically, it's a tale of parents that aren't paying attention to what their kids are looking up on the internet. And
right. Welcome to America. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. All right, Prados, what say you? TV show of the week to watch.
Oh, back to me. I'm still pushing the OA, even though it ends very unfortunately, and they're clearly trying to push a second season. But the OA, guys, if you get into, I know it's only 8 episodes, but dude, by the 8th episode, you still don't know what's going on, even though you've watched it for 8 episodes. So get into
what
it.
What channel?
Let's. It's called The OA. It's on Netflix.
Netflix, okay, gotcha.
Does it have violence and nudity?
There's some nudity. I don't see. Yes, there's some tits, and I haven't seen anything but an ass on a man. So.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. And we follow them, of course, at the_OA, right? And
sure.
Pamela, what say you? No, that really is the real Twitter feed. Pamela, what say you about TV show of the week to watch?
My show of the week, I'm still watching Taboo on Spike with Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Scroobiest pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Have you gotten to... Hang on one second, Tony. Have you gotten to the point where Scroobius Pip gets into the show?
Long is he really in it?
Has a stutter. Yeah, he's
is
in
he
it.
Really?
No,
in
not
it?
Yet. No, I'm only in. It's only into the third episode in. So not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Darn. He's going to show up soon. Don't worry.
Oh, I want to watch that. All right. We go to me, the real man up south, not central north. The one and only Marco.
Okay, I'm not going to push a show, but we're going to push a podcast. Hardcore History with Dan Carlin. Hardcore History with Dan Carlin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today.
You got to pay for it, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, you don't.
Oh,
it's on iTunes. Yeah. Today he dropped his new episode, a 6-hour podcast called Destroyer of Worlds.
Ooh, crap.
It recap the history of... the nuclear proliferation of the United States from 1945 all the way to the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the very cool style of Dan Carlin, you get really into the twists and turns of the geopolitics of the United States, a small monopoly during the early the late 40s, and then how the Soviet Union entered into the frame and how the chess pieces were moved. So we didn't nuke each other into obliteration, and how close we were to World War III in more than one occasion.
Darn.
Alternative facts.
Good Lord. All right, guys. Boy, 6 hours though, Marco? Really? That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta take it in a small doses, man.
Good Lord. It's like the aerial.
Quickly.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
If I can. If I can real
Go,
quick.
Please.
If you want to. Yeah, if you want to check something out, there's been two Joe Rogan podcasts that have been really good with Dr. Susie Gage. And there was one just yesterday with a fella who did an article about how bad sugar is for you.
Ooh,
check
right.
those guys out on Joe Rogan podcast. Sorry, go ahead, Tony.
Thanks a lot. Now I really feel bad about myself because I really did go to McDonald's today. I didn't get the surf and turf, though. All right, guys, let's go into this. The final thing, song of the week. I'm going to give you mine right now. Shivery is a band. The song is called Goodnight Moon. And if you want to know what that is, if you guys have ever seen Kill Bill 2, it's that song that they're playing when they're driving in that convertible Kia. Of course, there are only convertible Kias. No, I think there were hard-charged Kias. Anyway, Shivery, Goodnight Moon is the name of the song. Prados, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a song that I've been listening to quite recently that I sent to you, Tony. It's a more of an electronic song. It's Marco Schistau, MarcoSchistow. So Marcus Schistau, and it's raw. Check it out on SoundCloud.
Damn, song of the week.
I'm going old school, kind of just to put a subliminal message in your head. Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott.
Ooh, that's a good song. To the one and only Marco we go. Marco, do you have a song of the week?
Yeah, go old school. Listen to YouTube Sunday, Bloody Sunday, because that is the mood of the country at this moment.
Darn, that's a damn good one. All right, guys. So, of course, daily... And yeah, no chaw on that one. Daily, of course, we try to do the MMA Minute when time permits because we're moving. Of course, tomorrow will be Proteus's prime time. On Sunday, of course, this week in MMA. Every Wednesday, of course, Mac My Picks Up.
And follow, of course, Proteus at Proratos. Follow Pam at Pandora Box Double X. And of course, follow Marco at Aldo Marco. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Marco, you're close.
We gotta lead you guys. Catch you guys next week.
To the beautiful Pam we go.
Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend and fight week.
All right. And Proteus, or Proteus. Damn, perfect clothes, bro.
Hey, thanks. I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.